From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
My name's Amanda Dunn. I'm the politics and society editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with our chief political correspondent, Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Well, it feels like it's been a long time since we've had a leadership spell, Michelle, but the Nationals provided one for us yesterday with Barnaby Joyce being re-elected as leader of the party.
I'd like to say to my colleagues how humbled I am that the task going ahead, first and foremost, is to make ourselves a team that is formidable for the next election.
It's an interesting decision. How is it going to play out for Scott Morrison, do you think?
It'll certainly make things harder for Scott Morrison in dealing with the Nationals. One of the criticisms, of course, of the ousted leader, Michael McCormack, has been that he let the Prime Minister walk all over him, to put it bluntly. That's the view of those Nationals who became very discontented with him. Nobody thinks that Barnaby Joyce won't stand up for the party, and he will be putting its demands quite strongly to the Prime Minister. And out in the electorate, he will be differentiating the Nationals from the Liberals. Now, of course, such differentiation is desirable up to a point, but it also can cause great problems within a coalition.
We know that Barnaby Joyce is very popular in some parts of rural and regional Australia in particular. And the Nationals' vote doesn't really shift too much from election to election, but how will it impact on the Liberal vote or the coalition vote, I guess?
I think that it should be positive for the coalition vote in certain areas, but there are also negatives too. Of course, Barnaby Joyce has now a women problem. He was under a lot of criticism at the end of his time as leader. A main factor in his resignation was a claim, which he strongly denies, of sexual harassment. And a lot of women in the rural sector are quite critical of him. And there have been statements of criticism since his return to the leadership. So I think that is going to be one issue for him. How all this works out in terms of the net effect that he has on the vote, on the Nationals' vote, and on the coalition vote generally, remains an open question.
Of course, at the heart of all of this is the coalition's internal wrangling over climate change and coal and associated industries. We know that the Prime Minister has been crab walking towards a net zero emissions by 2050, preferably, as he keeps saying. Joyce, of course, is very pro-coal, and the areas that he comes from in regional Australia tend to be very pro-coal. How is this going to play out, do you think, Michelle?
The Prime Minister has wanted to firm up this target, this commitment to the target. As you say, his position at the moment is preferably 2050 to reach net zero.
The Prime Minister has...
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The government has made it very clear that we see gas as an important transition fuel, Mr. Speaker. A transition fuel as we go along in our path, as we've said, to get the net zero as soon as possible and preferably by 2050, Mr. Speaker.
He would like to just be able to take out that preferably. I know that it all sounds very semantic, but of course there is quite a difference. And the Nationals have been very concerned about that desired movement by the Prime Minister, and that was a factor in the leadership change. Now, what Barnaby Joyce has said is that he'll listen to his party about the whole position the Nationals should have.
Now, I will be guided by my party room. It's not Barnaby policy, it's Nationals policy.
Certainly he's on record extensively as really trashing the firm 2050 target. Some people say, well, if the Nationals were offered enough, they'd trade, they'd accept it. But it's hard to see that at this point. And I think it is going to mean that Scott Morrison will have to decide reasonably soon whether he just sticks with his present weasel words formulation or whether he pushes ahead with this quest to tighten up, firm up the commitment, as of course Joe Biden and Boris Johnson would like him to do.
And Michelle, still on climate, we've seen that today reports that there is a draft recommendation from UNESCO's World Heritage Committee, which will list the Great Barrier Reef site as in danger, and the government plans to contest this. How significant is this, do you think?
This is very significant because, of course, the reef is an icon, an international icon, and an icon for Australia. The government is always very sensitive to claims that it's not doing enough to protect the reef. This goes to the centre of its climate change policy as well. This draft recommendation couldn't come at a worse time, given all the debate around climate change and the 2050 target, and now the arrival of Barnaby Joyce into a position of real power. The government says that it's been blindsided by this recommendation.
Well, we have been singled out, and I'll start by noting that there's about 82 properties that are at risk of climate change that are in the UNESCO books, so to speak, and they've singled out Australia for this unprecedented approach without foreshadowing the decision against the advice that they were giving us only a week ago, and in a way that actually makes no sense. I want to make the point, Lisa, I know, I recognise climate change is the biggest threat to the reef. And the European countries take a different view than we do. But this is not the forum in which to express that view.
That it had assurances there'd be nothing for a while before some key discussions on this internationally. It's blaming the Chinese, who have some positions of influence and power in the relevant bodies, and it's going to fight very hard against this recommendation. We'll see how it goes, but it's another problem for Scott Morrison in a week that's bringing quite a few problems.
We will indeed. All right, Michelle, great to talk to you as always.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Lee Rosevere. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.